This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. The Star Seeds of Earth, the science fiction novel, is underway. We are one episode in, so instead of a long recap, allow me to please suggest you go back an episode and start with chapters 1 and 2. I will say, in a short recap, we found Alibi Jones on a Vermont mountainside, and so did the property owner, armed with a shotgun. Turned out, he was the former governor of Lunar Prime, Mark Edwards. And Alibi had ended up in friendly territory, it seems. We also checked in with Alibi's Aunt Anita and the folks back on board Alibi's home base, the Hornet's Nest. Out beyond the borders of the Solar Alliance and the Depot Fringe, where they are, there's little to no interplanetary authority, but there are protection rackets and some organized crime, and the godfather of the Depot Fringe, William Gentry, has just arrived at the Hornet's Nest, looking for Alibi Jones, for some reason. We're heading back to Vermont to search out a stone chamber with Alibi Jones in Chapter 3 of The Starseeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of book news first, before we get into the chapter. I actually do seek out stone chambers in Vermont, and I can assure you that the one in this story bears no resemblance to any in actual reality. So, don't think you're going to find what Alibi finds in one of the ones that I've been through. But if you want to see the ones I've been through, you can go to my page, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, and go to the new calendars that I've put up there. There's 4 2022 calendars with different themes. There's an ancient Vermont one. There's an ancient New England one with stone rows and chambers. There's an exploring America one. And there's just a beautiful Champlain Valley one. And you can go to my site and click through and see the galleries and check out all the pictures for those. And see some actual stone chambers in Vermont, if you're curious. Again, that's at glowinthedarkradio.com/calendars, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com, because the links are right up on top of that page as well for right now. A reminder that there are free ebooks to be had if you want to read The Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition for free, or Alibi Jones, the original Alibi Jones novel. Both of those ebooks are free pretty much everywhere except for Amazon and the Kindle. Everywhere else, though. Apple, Kobo, Walmart, Google Play, and more. The Alibi Jones novel, the original novel, is also available as a free audiobook. You can get the Alibi Jones audiobook for free at those places as well. Apple, Kobo, Walmart, Google Play, and other places. Just not at Audible. They don't play nice, Amazon and those guys, but you can get the Alibi Jones audiobook for free at most other outlets. A reminder that you can join Patreon and support this podcast as a patron for $2, $5, or $10 a month. And patrons will soon be getting some new Alibi Jones chapters, I keep promising. There was a sudden trip to my mom's that kind of derailed me a little bit, timing-wise. And the Red Sox are now in the playoffs, which doesn't help, but I also keep tweaking the beginning and sort of rewriting it, so Not quite ready to share it yet, but very soon, very soon. And patrons will get that before everyone else. So if you want to become a patron, head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the link to Patreon. And you can join for $2, $5, or $10 a month and help support the podcast and get more out of it, too. There's some free stuff you get as a patron. Timeline and Story Web and free ebooks and audiobooks. Oh, yeah. There's a lot there. Again, you can just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the Patreon link or go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Chapter 3 of Alibi Jones's Latest Adventure, The Starseeds of Earth. On the way next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Power Time Machine podcast?
Yeah.
But he won't listen. He hates everything.
I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kind of accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the wait. GeekRadioDaily.com.
Now here's Chapter 3 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Early the next morning, Edwards fed Alibi what he called a real Vermont breakfast of pancakes and bacon smothered in maple syrup. With a full stomach, Alibi felt ready to take on the day as they left the house. They headed back up the old road toward the trail, mostly retracing Alibi's path from the day before, until the old man led him much higher up towards the ridgeline in the cool morning air. "What's that smell?" Alibi asked as they climbed. "Smell?" Edward sniffed the air. He didn't understand. He didn't smell anything different. "I don't know," Alibi said. "It sort of smells like dirt."
"You're just not used to Mother Nature, Alibi," Edward said with a short laugh. "Guess it is more potent because of the morning dew, maybe. That is dirt, and all the plants, everything around us."
"You know, it does kind of smell like Ananita's Arboretum," Alibi said. "She's been building a garden out at the Hornet's Nest." He looked around the path as they climbed. "Was thinking I might bring her something back from here for it." He looked over at Edwards. "If you don't mind, that is."
"Fine by me," Edwards said. "Things grow back. Not that I want to give that woman anything."
"Hey," Alibi protested.
"She might be your foster mother," Edwards said. "But to me, she'll always be a turncoat. Double agent."
"You're still mad about that?" Alibi was surprised. The man held a grudge 3 decades later. Edwards sighed.
"Look," he said, "I know it turned out your dad, B.C., really assassinated Meredith, Governor McIntyre. But I thought your Aunt Anita, had done it. For years," he said. "After all, she did infiltrate our security corps for the UIN, the United Islamic Nation."
"Oh, I know about the UIN and the UTZ, Alibi said. "She made sure I know my history."
"Ha!" Edwards laughed.
"What?"
"Wait till you get old, Alibi Jones," Edwards said, "and you get to hear the stuff you remember as not so long ago called history."
"Sorry," Alibi said.
"Don't worry about it," Edwards said. "Ain't your fault."
He stopped.
"Here, we gotta go off the trail here. I let this older root grow over. Don't go up there much myself. don't usually let people explore around the ridgeline anymore. No? Nah, Edwards said. Don't want them getting hurt and suing me. Edwards led Alibi through a rough tangle of brush. Ouch! Alibi shouted. Something like a needle stabbed his skin. Careful, Edwards warned. Too late. Blackberry bushes over there. Blackberry? Alibi asked. They have needles. It stabbed me. Thorns, Edwards said. Some plants have them, you know. Blackberry plants have prickles. That's why I planted them here a long time ago. Helps keep the curious away. Could see how that would work, Alibi said, rubbing the spot where he'd been pricked by the plants. Pretty damn vicious. Are these the berries? Yep, Edwards said. You can eat them. Just the dark ones. The pink and green ones aren't ripe yet. Alibi picked a berry and popped it in his mouth. It had a strange texture. Tasted pretty good. Kind of sweet and sour at the same time, Alibi said. Not bad. Yeah, just watch out for the prickly parts, Edwards said. We're here. Alibi looked up. A wall of rock rose up sheer on the left, towards the ridgeline. He and Edwards were on a narrow path on the steep side of the mountain. To the right, the hill dropped sharply away, off from the path's edge. He peered ahead, but didn't see any openings in the rock wall. Nothing that looked like what he was hoping to see, at any rate. Where is it? Alibi asked. Nothing much to see, Edwards said. Like I told you last night. It's been kind of blown out of proportion. Down there. Edwards pointed ahead, along the base of the cliff next to them. Alibi tried to look and tripped, falling into Edwards. Edwards stopped his fall, steadied him. Careful, Edwards said. Kind of drops off a little here. Gotcha, Alibi said, regaining his balance. A little. They moved down the path. As they grew closer to where Edwards had pointed, the fireplace, or whatever it was, became easier to see. An indentation in the rock. It was grown over, but a dark space opened up in the cliff behind the brambles. He backed away from the cliff face, trying to get a better idea of the size of the void behind the vegetation. Watch where you're stepping, Edwards said, raising his voice. Alibi looked. Another step, and he'd have fallen backwards down the sheer drop-off. Thanks, Alibi said. I'm not usually so clumsy. Just trying to see the outline of it. It looked about 2.5 meters tall, maybe 1.5 meters wide. This is the fireplace, huh? Alibi said. You were right. I don't think I would have found it by myself. At all. Thank you, Mr. Edwards. You're welcome, Edwards said. You know, it is a damn strange place to put a fireplace. Do you mind if I go in there? Alibi asked. If you can, Edwards said. More blackberry bushes, though. Watch out for those thorns. Alibi pulled at the twisted branches, trying to clear them from the opening. You plant these, too? Yep, Edwards said. Damn! Alibi swore, as a prickle tore into his thumb, drawing a little blood. Should have brought gloves with us, Edwards said. Didn't think of that, sorry. What a concept. Plants with needles. Alibi pulled away the brush from around the opening. The plants resisted uprooting. He twisted them to the side, out of the way, stomping on their stems. Edwards stood back and watched Alibi work. Hey, come on. Do you maybe feel like helping? Alibi asked.
Do you maybe feel like telling me why you're here? Edwards asked, echoing him.
It occurs to me you never did make it clear why you wanted to find this thing. Alibi looked around. We're on the side of a mountain, in a remote part of Earth, and I'm worried about eavesdroppers. Guess we don't know what's overhead in orbit right now. Some justification. Maybe. Damn it! Finder has me all kinds of paranoid. Have you ever heard of starseeds? Alibi asked.
Starseeds? Edwards asked.
The starseeds of the ancient enemy, Alibi said. The ones they shot out into the galaxy as their homeworld was being destroyed. Designed to generate or alter life on distant worlds, to recreate their fallen race. Like the one that created human life here on Earth, for example.
I've heard about those theories, Edwards said. They aren't theories, Alibi said. He turned back to the brush and began to pull at it again as he talked. I've fought them, Mr. Edwards, the ancient enemy. Some of them tried to come back. One of them figured out how to move their energies ahead through time, and came ahead to our time, taking over a human body. He tried to bring a bunch more with him, too. Alibi shook his head as he remembered. They did that because they knew others among them had readied the starseeds to go out, knew that there would be compatible flesh receptacles for them in the distant future, whenever they arrived. Not theory, sir. Very real. One of them even took over my body for a while. I got better. Don't think I'll mention that.
I hear ya, Edwards said. Didn't see much about that on the news, though. Some of it I heard about. But I was in government, I know how that goes. Not every story gets out.
Edwards moved over alongside Alibi and began to pull at the overgrown brambles. Immediately, a prickle snagged his left palm, giving him a quick cut.
Damn it to hell, Edwards swore.
Alibi chuckled, unable to help himself. Sorry, he said.
You think one of those starseeds could be in here? Edwards asked.
Maybe, Alibi said. Or there could be clues that point us to where one is. But I do think it's somewhere nearby.
You think? Edwards said.
Well, yeah, Alibi said. I kind of had a vision, I guess, led me back to Earth. Then I detected it here, sort of.
Edwards studied him. Alibi couldn't tell if Edwards believed him or not.
How much can I tell him?
A late friend of mine came up with a usable model of the stupidly complex bioelectrical energy matrix of the ancient enemy, Alibi said, deciding.
Baffle him with the technical BS.
What? Edwards asked. The complex whoozy-whatsus? I missed something there.
Their bioelectrical energy matrix, their mental and physical power together mixed. The part of themselves the ancient enemy sent forward in time, their energies. Kind of like their mind and souls combined.
Time travel alone is impressive, Edwards said. But that they could do that? Isolate their energies? So they could send them through time? That's pretty wild.
Yeah, Alibi said. And that's why even modeling it is kind of amazing. Took an incredible amount of computer power the first time. But once we did, we figured out we could create a simplified version that relied on a huge number of signifiers instead of the Gestalt.
Not sure I follow, Edwards said.
Sorry, Alibi said. But not sorry.
Let's see. Duplicating the energy pattern takes a lot of computer power. But you can use that duplicate model, once it's proven, as a model in itself for a further breakdown into signifiers that you then use to create a smaller model, which makes it more portable and functional, so you can use it to detect that pattern in the real world. It's in the computer memory on my ship, and it let me detect a sort of similar energy pattern near here, although it's hard to pin down the exact location.
What do you mean? Edwards asked. Weird as it sounds, it seems to shift and move, Alibi said. However, a lot of times, it's appeared near this mountain ridge.
No kidding, Edwards said.
He grew quiet as he continued to tug and pull at the brush. Alibi stopped and looked at the opening in the rock face. The void beyond appeared 6 or 7 meters deep.
Another few plants and we'll be able to walk in, Alibi said.
It does kind of look like a fireplace, the way the outside edge is lined with blocks. Do we know who put those there?
Huh? Edwards was caught off guard. Sorry, I was thinking, preoccupied. What were you saying?
It does look like a fireplace, Alibi said.
So, let me get this straight, Edwards said. You can detect the energy signature of the ancient enemy anywhere.
Uh-oh.
Well, Alibi said, kinda. So you could use that to find their old tech out there, too, then, Edwards said.
Shit. I don't know if it would find their tech, Alibi lied. Unless they had been there, too. It can detect a life pattern, not a tech pattern.
mostly.
You should try to use it to find their stuff, Edward said.
Damn, he can't know this. Nobody can know this. It was Finder's intuition that led him to us when he was looking for a starseed. Wasn't like he knew what we could do, just that he had a hunch we could do something about getting him what he wanted. But Edwards can't know this. Then I'd have to kill him. I'm not killing the man.
Maybe we can invite him out to the nest. But you used it to find this tech, Edwards said. The starseed.
The starseeds were ancient enemy life bombs, basically, Alibi said. They're kind of loaded with that energy. Don't like lying to this guy. Suddenly I'm my father. Fuck it. Done lying.
But there's something else going on here, Alibi said. The energy signature certainly got my scan's attention, but the shifting is weird. Almost like one of them is here in some kind of residual form, moving around. The signals and patterns aren't clear.
I haven't seen anyone else around here, Edward said. Not until you showed up.
I'm not sure you'd actually see them, Alibi explained. It's kind of a faint energy pattern, not focused like it would be if it were an actual living one of them walking around. And it also seems to move through rock.
Near here a lot, Edward said. Gotcha.
He shook his head, then changed the subject.
Think we can fit through now?
They'd cleared almost a half meter's space on the left side of the fireplace.
Can we go in? Alibi asked. Do you mind?
That's why we're here, right? Edward said. Go ahead.
Alibi pulled his light bar out of his day pack and turned it on. He began to edge past the brambles, into the deeper part of the fireplace. He stopped to examine the blocks lining the entry. They were worn, polished stones, showing signs of centuries of wear. The blocks didn't continue far into the fireplace. After 3 meters, natural cave rock took over. The walls, ceiling, and floor narrowed down in the darkness in front of him. The natural cave walls still showed some signs of carving past the point where the blocks ended.
It looks like this space was deliberately cleared, Alibi said, but it's not as deep as it first looked.
Alibi cast his light towards the rear, a sheer wall of rock about 5 meters back. It also looked like it had been worked, carved using basic tools. He directed the light bar up at the roof of the cave and discovered the low ceiling gave way to a shaft in the overhead rock, leading up beyond the reach of the light.
A chimney?
It is a fucking fireplace, Alibi swore.
Ah!
Now you sound like him,
Edwards laughed behind him.
Don't tell me that, Alibi said. Not now. This is too disappointing. I don't need that, too.
Sorry, kid.
Sand covered the floor, especially towards the back wall.
Something isn't right.
It's a fucking fireplace, Edward said.
Only it's not.
But where are the ashes? Alibi asked. The burn marks. The charring. He shone the light around the space. Nothing looked blackened. There were no signs of burning on any surface.
Come on, Alibi. It is ancient, Edward said. Hasn't been used in eons. It's probably all been worn and washed off.
Sure, maybe, but there would still be signs, Alibi said.
As he reached the back wall, he realized it wasn't one.
This is a slab, not a wall, Alibi said.
He pointed up. And that's not a chimney.
Edwards edged inside the space.
No, Edwards said. What is it?
I think it's a trap, Alibi said. To keep the wrong people from getting past this point. The slab, the sand, the space above? This probably came crashing down on some poor slob back who knows how long ago. Kept them from getting at what's beyond.
You think there's something past that wall, or slab? Edwards asked.
I do, Alibi said. He grinned, and his hand went towards his waist. Would you mind if I blast it?
Edwards frowned. Then so did Alibi, when Edwards looked like he minded. Edwards' brow wrinkled as he looked at the back wall, thinking.
Well, you know, Alibi, he said. Now that I'm closer, I see what you mean.
The back slab isn't carved out of the same rock. It's granite. The side walls look like softer stone. Different kinds of rock?
Yeah, Edwards said.
He walked over, taking a closer look at the seam where the left wall met the backing slab.
I'll be damned.
You see what I mean? Alibi asked.
Doesn't look like it fell there, though, Alibi, Edwards said. It's snug in place, almost a perfect fit.
He looked up at the chimney.
Or maybe it did. Probably hollowed that out so they could maneuver the damn thing into place. Like Egyptians sealing a tomb.
Do you think this could be Egyptian? Alibi asked. That's pretty... Edwards cut him off.
No!
He shouted, a little louder than he meant to, or was needed in the small space.
Sorry. Didn't want you going off on some foolish tangent. I'm not saying it's Egyptian. It's kind of an obvious concept, isn't it? Would follow different people in different places could have the same idea about sealing up places with stones, huh? I was just, you know, making a comparison for explanation's sake.
But you have to admit, there could be something cool beyond the slab, Alibi said. Like there was in Egypt a lot of times, if they sealed it up the same way.
If, Edwards said. Ah, hell. Sure looks like they did. Whoever the hell they were.
So, can I blast it? Alibi asked again. So we can find out?
No, Edwards said. Not the back. It's a harder rock than the sides. Blast the side wall towards the back. We'll see if we can blast around the damn slab. But do me a favor. Start on a low setting.
He looked up again.
I don't want this crashing down on top of us.
Alibi dialed down the power setting on the gun and took aim. Fwash! The blast was quieter than Alibi was used to, as the low-power beam whispered through the air. Energy played across the rock wall on the left by the back slab, but didn't penetrate the surface. Alibi walked over and inspected the blast area. No damage, nothing. Though it was warm to the touch.
Gonna need a little more than that, Alibi said.
I'll be careful, promise.
Hope so, Edwards grumbled.
Alibi cranked the power up a bit, aimed again, and fired.
Fwash!
Seemed like a good power setting. Alibi went to work.
Fwash! Fwash!
That was Chapter 3 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi Jones trying to blast his way into what? We'll join back up with him on our next episode and try to find out on Glow in the Dark Radio. We'll also catch up with his mother and brother, Ruth and Hap, next time. So we'll do a couple chapters on the next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder, if you really want to check out some stone chambers, you can go to my website. Go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com or go to glowinthedarkradio.com/calendars and sort of click through to those calendar sites. They each have a gallery and some of them feature stone chambers, so you can see what I'm talking about. And you can buy those calendars if you like. They're $20 a piece for 2022. I've got free ebooks up for grabs. You can get Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, and the Alibi Jones novel for free as ebooks. You can get the Alibi Jones novel as a free audiobook as well. Those are available at everywhere except for Amazon and Audible, so at Apple, at Kobo, Google Play, and more. And if you like what you're hearing and you want to support it, please think about becoming a Patreon, a patron at Patreon. You may be getting some new Alibi Jones very soon, if you do. Patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the Patreon link. That's all for this week. Hope you'll be back for our continued presentation of the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.